Blog Talk Radio. You're listening live to WRNW. Women's Radio Network.
Question, tell me how you feel about this.
R-E-S-P-C-T, find out what it means to me.
I'm just a girl. I am a woman, hear me roar.
And you're gonna hear me roar.
I am woman.
I stand by my reputation.
This has a new generation.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network with me, your host, Bridget Grayson. And I am so very happy and excited to be here with you guys today because I have some great guests lined up for you, some really, really special ones to start off the work week. I know it's Monday afternoon, guys, and we're getting back into the flow of things, but, you know, I have some amazing people here that are just going to kind of help move this day along and make it a little bit more better and interesting for you. So it's my pleasure to introduce my first guest of the day. She is someone who's very cool, does great work, and you guys know that I love having artists on the show. So her name is C. Bangs. She is an artist, and she exhibits her work at Central Booking Art Space. And that's on the Lower East Side. So, guys, without any further ado, I want to welcome her to our show this afternoon. Hello, C. Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm fine, Bridget. Thank you, Anita.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. And thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're happy to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. So, see, as I mentioned, you're an artist and you exhibit your work at Central Booking Art Space. So tell us a little bit about the type of artwork that you do.
My art investigates science and in very advanced scientific concepts combined with symbolist figuration. And it includes both traditional media, painting, sculpture, installations, and also book art. And that's why I show at Central Booking, because it's dedicated to both artists who work in a remote form or a very close form related to books, or artists who work with scientific concepts.
Oh, awesome. So it's not just, art or your regular typical art. It's in relation to science as well.
Correct. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That is amazing, Steve. So how did this all start for you? Was this something that you were always interested in doing as far as, being an artist is concerned, and then as far as science is concerned as well?
Well, I come from the school of thought that people are born artists or not,
mm-hmm.
and I had early on many long and interesting and provocative dialogues with my father, who was an engineer, and that step by step encouraged me to dialogue with other people who were interested in science and engineering, and then when I met my husband 30 years ago, we started dialoguing about a whole variety of scientific ideas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome, awesome. So, see, from reading a little bit about you, I saw that you did something called the Rainbow Hologram, is that correct?
That's right, yes. That was the first year. I worked as a NASA faculty fellow, and the Rainbow Hologram was done for the first year that I worked at NASA Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, and that was investigating holographic ideas to put onto a solar sail, which is an alternative to a rocket that moves in space driven by the pressure of sunlight.
Wow, wow, very cool. And what was the point of these holograms, see?
Well, they were many points, actually, but the reason that I initially investigated it was as a message plaque that could include potentially millions of different messages that could be digitally composed onto a... many of the solar sails are large or not, but it's like any digital picture. It can include many small components. Mm-hmm. So that was the idea of a message plaque. But then when my husband and I got to Marshall Space Flight Center and spoke with our NASA colleague Les Johnson, he wanted it to have an engineering component. So a hologram, as everybody knows, with their credit cards, with their toothpaste containers, with all sorts of holographic images that we have, can flash on or off, mm-hmm. depending on the angle that you look at it at. And so that helped Greg and then later me figure out how depending on the angle that the solar sail was to the sun, it could be either on or off. So it would be like sailing in with a normal sailboat and mm-hmm. tacking into the wind or not.
Oh, wow. You know, see, all this is very interesting to me because I've spoken to many people that are artists on this show, but, you know, none that actually, you know, do what you do that involve art and science, which is an extraordinary thing. And you guys do such great work. And I know you were talking about your husband, and I know you guys have some books coming out in the future. You have Starlight, Star Bright, Our Star is Conscious, and Star Bright also coming out. So tell us a little bit about that. What are these books all about, Z?
Well, they're actually, despite the fact that Greg, my husband, has spent his life's work working on the solar sail and applications for the solar sail, he had the opportunity to investigate through a symposium that was held several years ago in London regarding Olaf Stapleton, the work of Olaf Stapleton, who was an amazing science fiction writer. What he did instead of doing the science is he looked into Olaf Stapleton's work, because Olaf Stapleton did influence many scientists, but he looked into his work that in science fiction talked about stars being able to move independently as opposed to through gravity. Mm-hmm. So he started investigating this using ideas of panpsychism, which is looking for consciousness in a variety of matter, including anything with a molecular bond through vacuum fluctuation pressure of something called the Casimir effect. So what that means is that if you look at, say, a slime mold, it has molecules, and slime molds like potentially stars have a way of moving. They can determine where they're going depending on what they need and what they want to, how they want to build their colony. And it looks like from what Greg investigated that some stars, cool, redder and less massive stars, they can move faster than their more massive, hotter, bluer sisters, their blue stars and red stars.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the heat and the age of the star. So what that meant is that they were moving in a way that's not expected. And what scientists for many years have done is say that that's attributed to something called dark matter, which a lot of work is based on, a lot of scientific ideas are based on.
Mm-hmm.
But since dark matter has never really been proven, or detected, it's time to look at the possibilities of other things happening. And actually, panpsychism is a very ancient concept. It's in humankind's very ancient past that the stars were gods and goddesses, and that everything throughout, anything that you would see, would have some kind of life. So you look at a tree, obviously a tree is alive, but it would have some kind of consciousness. Plants having some kind of consciousness, everything having some kind of consciousness. So that's the basis of the book. And Starlight, Star Bright, Are Stars Conscious, is the science art book that that Greg did the writing for, as he did for the other one, but it's a much more involved scientific investigation of these ideas. And Star Bright, is the artist-scientist book, and you can actually look that up on YouTube, Star Bright, Bangs Matloff, or Matloff Bangs, and there is about an 8-minute video talking about, presenting with music and Greg's prose as he talks through the ideas in that particular piece. So I do video as well.
Nice. You know, this stuff is awesome to see. And, you know, it's great that you guys are coming out with these books. And I'm so glad we were able to have you on the show, because I feel like not only myself, but our listeners learned so much just from you being on here, because this is something that's so unique what you do. And I wish I had more time to talk to you, but unfortunately we're out of time. So before we do go, you know, when can we expect to see these books out, see?
Well, Star Bright is out. That's in the form of a self-published art book, which is that's a recognized art form now. We believe from our publisher Curtis Press in the UK that Starlight, Star Bright, Our Stars Conscious should be out in a few months. Everything has been delivered, so we're just waiting on them.
Nice. Awesome. Well, again, see, it truly has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. To our listeners, guys, I want to remind you all that I'm speaking with the talented and intelligent Miss C. Bangs. She's an artist. Her work is exhibited at Central Booking Art Space. Also, she is an author along with her husband, and they have a book out already. They have another book coming out soon. So, guys, I want you to check that out. I encourage you all to do that and find out more information about them. So you can do that by visiting the website, which is www.cbangs.com. So that's the letter C as in cat, bangs, bangs.com. So check it out, guys. You're going to find a lot of information on the site, as well as a gorgeous picture of C on there also. All right, guys. So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So stay tuned for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
This is DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Welcome back to Open Forum. You guys are listening to the Women's Radio Network with me, your host, Bridget Grayson. And I told you guys I'm very excited and happy to be here with you because I have some amazing guests lined up for you guys today. And I can't wait for you guys to hear them and meet them and, you know, just hear our great conversations. So my next guest, he is a great guy, and I'm very happy that he's on our show today. His name is Fred Mester, and he is the owner of Fred M. Mester PC, and that's in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. He's also a lawyer and a retired judge, so we're definitely excited to have him on the show and hear all about him and what he has going on. So without any further ado, guys, I want to welcome him to our show today. Good afternoon, Fred. How are you?
Good afternoon. I feel very good. A little overcast here in Michigan, but it's still Michigan.
Well, you know, I'm glad that despite that, you feel good. And, you know, we definitely feel good because we're glad that you joined us on the show, Fred. So thank you so much for being here today.
I'm honored to be here and got a great show, as I understand. And I hope that I can be of some assistance and bring some information that's critical to people and as we make this a better society.
Oh, yes, Definitely. And you know what, Fred? I know that you will be, and our listeners are going to love you because you have so much going on that you do. So let's start off with Fred M. Mester, PC. That's your private practice you have there. So tell us a little bit about that and what you do there.
Well, as a retired judge, I also take appointments by the Michigan Supreme Court for as a visiting judgeship. But I work very closely with veterans. I'm on the Veterans Committee of the Oakland County Bar Association and work with the U.S. District Court, setting a veterans court out of the U.S. District Court. And so I'm on several pleadings pertaining to veterans. And when you're on a pleading, you cannot sit as a judge because there is alleged conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. So I also do arbitration through the American Arbitration Association. Very honored to be a part of that group. I work as a mediator here and a facilitator here in Michigan appointed by the judiciary. And that's where you try to get people to come together and find a reasonable resolution of issues that they may have so they don't have to go down the long journey of a litigation process, but they can resolve it quickly by you trying to get them to find some commonality in their problems and walk mm-hmm. away and get back to whatever they do in their workaday life.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And so, I'm a chairman of a board of a large legal aid clinic. I have a foundation that works in the inner city and tutoring, mentoring, community service enrichment of young people in the inner city, and I work with Common Ground and other organizations such as that.
Oh, okay, awesome. So is that the Pontiac Alumni Foundation?
That is correct.
Oh, okay, awesome. Yes, I saw that you're the founder and president of that.
Yes, I started up about 15 to 20 years ago when I became a little bit exhausted by having to send so many young people to prison and not do anything about changing, helping to change their lives and helping their lives become more productive for themselves and for the community. And so I talked to the superintendent of schools and others in the city of Pontiac, and I recognized there are a number of alums who came out of Pontiac and did very good things, such as Hayes Jones, who won the Olympics silver and gold medal in the 1960-64 Olympics. And a number of other individuals that went on and made a very great contribution to our society and brought them together in this organization we call the Pontiac Alumni Foundation. We've worked with the Tuskegee Airmen. We've worked with the Wright Museum in Detroit, the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn. We've taken kids up on flights where they've never had a flight before. We brought the Tuskegee Airmen in to speak to them, and it's been a very invigorating association. We learn as much from the students as they learn from us, and we have them participating in soccer, and they do very well with that. Got a major contribution from the World Soccer Association, where they try to give back to the communities which host them in their regional games as well.
Wow. You know what, Fred? I love that. That is just an amazing thing to hear that not only are you're out there, you're a lawyer, and you're doing some stuff with you know, your private practice there, but you're out and you're giving back to the community as well because you saw something that needed to be changed. And it's very refreshing to hear someone say that, especially someone who's a lawyer. And, you know, you said that there are so many young people that you had to send to jail. You kind of wanted to change that and kind of, you know, break the cycle, which is a truly, truly an amazing thing and very refreshing to hear someone say that, especially, you know, coming from a lawyer. So, you know, Fred, how did this all start for you? Was, you know, law something that you were always interested in? What maybe motivated you to get involved in this?
That's a good question. My father was born and raised in the Abraham Lincoln's major city, that of Springfield, Illinois. And we'd often visit Springfield, and we would visit the offices of the Lincoln Law Firm. And I took a great interest in Lincoln as a child and recognized that he was a lawyer, and he promoted great things as a lawyer. He handled a large number of cases before the Illinois Supreme Court, as well as some cases before the United States Supreme Court. And he's a very fine lawyer. And he had instructed young lawyers in 1850 that they should avoid litigation at all costs because they may win, but their client may lose. And he's so right. The litigation process is such a long, very dragged-out process, very costly for the clients. And I became interested in trying to help society make it a better society. I had a lot of fine mentors like Ralph Guy, who was on the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals for the Federal District Court, and also was the U.S. attorney and hired me as an assistant and ultimately chief of the civil division of the U.S. Attorney's Office. Harold Hood, who was my immediate supervisor. When I was in the United States military, I had a lot of fine mentors who helped guide me as a young officer in the United States military. And I see all those individuals who preceded me, who helped me to want to become a lawyer and become someone who's actively engaged in our society, hopefully try to make it better. And I must state here that we have a very fine group of individuals that work with me, and I work with them, and I learn a lot from them, and they do a lot of good for these young people.
Definitely. Well, that's wonderful stuff, Fred. And, you know, you are also one of those people who are out there and you're doing stuff to help people in general, but to help the young people and the younger generations and really giving back to the community is really an amazing thing. And we appreciate you so much for being on our show. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us today, Fred.
Well, I want to thank you very much. And sometime when we have an opportunity, I'd like to discuss the renovation that we're doing in the criminal justice field that will change the sentencing jurisprudence throughout the United States, and it may be, make a big interest in your program and to those who hear your very fine program. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, Fred. You know, we would definitely love to have you back and hear all about that because, as I said, definitely great stuff that you have going on and that you're involved with. So before I do let you go, I do want to remind our listeners, guys, I'm speaking with Mr. Fred Mester. He is a lawyer, retired judge, and the owner of Fred M. Mester PC, and that's in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. So I encourage you all to find out more about him. Guys, he's also involved in the community, which is always a great thing. We love people like that. He's the founder and president of the Pontiac Alumni Foundation. So if you want to find out more about him and anything he has going on, just check out his website, which is judgemester.com, and that's spelled M-E-S-T-E-R, so judgemester.com. So check it out, guys, all right? We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with our next guest, so stick around for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buchner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. Now, you guys know I am your host, Bridget Grayson, and I love bringing you guys some amazing and inspirational and great guests, which is what we do here every day at Open Forum. And you guys know there are a couple of things that I like to talk about on this show. One definitely is writing. I love writing. I think it's such a great way to express yourself and to use your creativity and your imagination. But what I love even more than writing is reading. So it's always a pleasure for me to have my authors here on the show with us today. So I have a fabulous author here for us, guys. Her name is Jean Kiltzer, and she is the author of so many books. She has 13 books out right now. She's working on another one as well. Her publisher is Creativia, and she's located in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. So without any further ado, I want to welcome her to our show today. Good afternoon, Jean. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. And Jean, thank you so much for joining us on the show. I'm happy to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that. So, Jean, as I mentioned, you're an author. So tell us a little bit about that. Just to start off with, how did you get involved in writing? Was this something that you always had a passion for?
I didn't start off with a passion for writing. I started very early in art, and I majored in art in high school in Brooklyn, which was very unusual at the time that they'd allow that. But I realized that my creative direction was not in art. it turned out to be in writing. And one night, out of a clear blue, I picked up a pen and I wrote a short science fiction story. And I thought, well, this isn't too difficult. And I didn't realize how poorly written it was, being my first one. You know, I was kind of a babe in the woods. But I did fall in love with writing, and especially with writing science fiction at that point. And it's always been my passion ever since.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. And Jean, was there something in particular that maybe sparked the interest in science fiction for you?
Yeah, actually it was. When I was 15, I grew up in a Catholic family and used to go to church. But when I was 15, I picked up a book on astronomy. And that was pretty far back. But when I saw what was out there, billions of stars, I sound like Carl Sagan, but billions and billions of stars, and each one with the possibility of planets. And I compared that to what the church was telling me, and I had to leave the church. And I went into science fiction because I was so fascinated with the majesty and the awesomeness, to quote a new word, of the universe and the possibilities out there. One of my favorite authors, Ursula Le Guin, said that science fiction writers and readers are not only comfortable on an open universe, but we like to play on the steps. And I think that kind of defines my writing.
Oh, wow. You know, that is so interesting that you say that you have this love for science fiction. And I think that it is a very cool thing, a very great thing. I actually took an astronomy class when I was in high school. And you're right, there's so much out there. And it's so much that we still don't even know about, you know. So it's such a great thing, and it's a unique thing. So you have 13 books out already. So are they kind of all in that same realm of science fiction, Jean?
You know, all but three are. I was away from writing for quite a while. I got into the College of Santa Fe, and I majored in moving image arts, but then I did go back to writing. And when I went back to writing, I started again to get my hand in it by writing a children's fantasy trilogy called Snowflake's World. That kind of got me into it again. But after those three books, which are also published, I did go back to adult science fiction, and nine of my books, which includes the one I'm working on, are a series called Star Sojourner, and they're all about the same character, Jules Ramis. He's a telepath, an astrobiologist, and a reckless adventurer, and people who read my book seem to like him very much. So I'm on the ninth book of the series. Then I have two standalone science fiction books, The Empty Hands and Kraken's Keep. Those are not series books.
Wow.
And
awesome.
Yeah.
So the one that you're working on now, Jean, that's a continuation for this character. You said his name was Jules, right? That's a continuation of his journey?
Yes, it is. It's called The Lonely Sea and the Sands. It's taken from Sea Fever, a poem by John Masefield, except in the poem it's The Lonely Sea and the Sky. I must go down to the sea again, to the lonely sea and the sky. And it's science fiction, but this one, unlike the other eight books, takes place on Earth. And I'm dipping my toes into horror. Science fiction horror for the first time. Yeah, it's it's challenging. I like what's happening, but I'm hoping I can be successful at horror. It is new to me. So with each book, I try to stretch a bit more and make it more interesting for the reader. Up to now, all the books took place on different planets in a part of the galaxy that's colonized by people and aliens.
Oh, wow. That's very interesting. And you know what? I love the fact that you said that, and you're not afraid to kind of step out of your comfort zone and take a challenge. And even though, you know, this is what you're used to, you're trying to venture into the horror now, which is that's an amazing thing. And it's a challenge, as you said. But, you know, it's great that you're able to really take that step and face that head on. A lot of people don't really have the courage to step out of their comfort zone and do things like that, Jean. So that truly, truly is a wonderful thing. And you are...
Well, thank you. Well, I tell you, if you don't stretch in each book, your readers are not really... You're not doing what you need to do for your readers. You're not giving them the best of yourself if you're just repeating yourself. So I do try to stretch with each book.
Agreed. Very well said. And, Jean, you know, you're an established author. You have so many great books out, and I know there are a lot of people that want to be in your shoes and want to be authors. So for those people out there that are listening, especially the younger generations coming up that want to be a part of the writing community, what would be some advice or words of encouragement that you can offer them that they can take away from our conversation today?
Yeah, well, to the young people or any person at any age just starting out in writing, you have got to be very passionate about it because it's not easy. It takes a long time to learn to write fiction as opposed to essays or nonfiction, you know, things like that. And also, it's a tough field because there's a lot of competition. My best advice would be learn to write well. Keep your reader in mind when you write. Don't just write what you love, but write what's universal so that your reader also loves it. But the other half of this is become an independent writer on Amazon unless you have some kind of influence or in with a publishing house, which is very difficult to get into. Learn to be an independent author and learn to promote your book. I can't emphasize that enough. You have got to learn how to promote your book so that it stands out from the thousands of other books.
Yes, because there are so many out there. As you said, there is a lot of competition, and that is a common thing that I've heard, especially, you know, as far as one of the hardest parts of writing is getting your work published. So, you know, that's definitely great advice, Jean. So, guys, I hope you all take that advice, especially if you want to be a writer. Listen to Jean's advice. She's been through it. She knows what she's talking about. So definitely listen to her. Jean, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. It's been a pleasure having you here with us.
Well, it's been a pleasure being on, and thank you so much for some very astute questions, and you take care.
You too. Before I let you go, I want to remind our listeners, guys, I'm speaking with Ms. Jean Kiltzer. She is an author. She has so many books out. So I want to encourage you guys to check them out, find out more information about her, and also she has another book coming out. So look out for that. So you can find all of her books on Amazon. So just go to Amazon.com and search for Jean Kiltzer Books. Her name is spelled J-E-A-N. Last name is K-I-L-C-Z-E-R. So search for her on there. You can also email her. So her email address is jeankiltzer@centurylink.net. So definitely check those out, guys. I encourage you all to do that. So we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with our next guest. So stick around for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock. Only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my BNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. I am your host, Bridget Greason. And, guys, it's my pleasure to introduce our next guest of the day because you guys know that I love talking to people that are involved in music and arts and entertainment. I think it is a great thing that these people will come on our show just so we can show them some appreciation for keeping the love of these arts alive, such as music, visual arts, performing arts. It is truly a great thing. So I have Miss Carolyn Cook here with us today, guys. She is the CEO at 24C Records, and that's in Palmdale, California. So without any further ado, I want to welcome her to our show. Good afternoon, Carolyn. How are you today?
I'm great. Good afternoon. And hi to everyone else out there in the radio world.
Well, we're doing great over here. I can't speak for everyone else, our listeners, but, I'm sure they're having a great day here listening to us. Carolyn, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. We're very excited and happy to have you here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. So, Carolyn, you're the CEO over there at 24C Records. So tell us a little bit about that. What do you have going on there?
Oh, at 24C Records, we promoted 12 groups in the past. Right now we're promoting my music because I need to get myself out there so that I can help my youth foundation. And so right now I'm being promoted with Leon Russell and Elton John because I sang with Leon and I went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with them in 2011. And so 24C Records is really pumping up right now and getting some new music released in the next couple of weeks. So we want everyone to kind of just, you know, push us, support us, and we hopefully will get some new fans and friends from that on the radio.
Yes, definitely. Oh, my gosh, that's some great stuff that you have going on and some big names that you're working with. So, Carolyn, you know, tell us a little bit about the type of music that you do. What type of genre do you kind of gravitate towards?
Well, I was originally singing rock and roll. But I sing R&B and blues, and the music has been released, so it crossed over to rock and roll, and a couple of the songs crossed over to country. So it's kind of hard to say which genre I'm really in, but I really sing blues.
Okay, gotcha. But, you know, it's great to hear that you kind of had experience in lots of different ones as well. And I think that artists that kind of had experience in other genres, just it kind of makes them a more well-rounded artist or musician.
Thank you. Well,
you're welcome.
Feels good to be able to do a little bit of everything, you know, and I did that Don't Stop the Music song, and that background went. It made me very popular because I sang all four harmony parts on You Don't Really Want to Stop. So it was silly, but it did a lot of good.
Nice. Awesome. Well, Carolyn, how did this all get started for you? Was music something that you always were involved in and had a passion for?
Yes, I was born and raised in the church, and as far as I can remember, I've been a singer. I was singing at three churches since I was four on Easter and Christmas, and so my whole life has been about music, and I don't know really or have a passion for anything else other than the theater. I love being on theater. I like acting as well, but my music just really comes from my family and my passion. It's just in my heart, and it's just a gift from God.
Oh, I love to hear that, and it is a great thing that you feel that way about it, because that means that it is truly something that you really do love and have a passion for, and some people have such a hard time finding that, so it's a great thing that you have found that, Carolyn. And, you know, what I also love about you is that you're out there, you're doing your thing in the music industry, you're promoting yourself, getting your music out there, but you're doing that also to help the community as well in your youth program that you want to get going. So tell us a little bit more about that. What is that all about, Carolyn, and what will you be doing with the youth?
Okay, the youth program is really getting bumped up this year because we have a lot of professional musicians from the unions that are getting involved, and they're going to be board members so that we can get it's called the Explore Post 24, it's of the Boy Scouts of America, and the performers will be performing once a year at the Hollywood Bowl. So we're putting our first concert together this year. We're organizing and doing fundraisers for that, for the youth. And so it's going to be, we're going to take them into the industry. A lot of them will go in as workers and back behind stage, and some will go on stage. So it's just we're trying to do an all-rounded life skill thing in the entertainment industry.
Oh, nice. So they get a chance to really experience that. And, you know, it's for both sides as far as being on stage, as you said, and being behind the scenes as well, because there are people that prefer one over the other. So that you're giving them a chance to really experience that.
Yes, right. And so I'm so happy that so many really great people like Matt Fritz of CBS, and it's just a lot of great people who are involved in making this happen.
Oh, that is wonderful, Carolyn, and truly a great thing. So do you guys have any events or fundraisers coming up that maybe people should know about, especially if they're in the area, that they can come out and show some support for you guys?
Yes, we do. In October, we have a casino night in Hollywood, and it will be posted on my Facebook page. and it's just Carolyn Cook. And you can Google Carolyn Cook Music, and you can find me everywhere on the Internet.
Awesome. And Carolyn, as far as yourself is concerned for your music, do you have any shows coming up that people can know about?
Yes, I do. I'm actually putting a band together right now. And after that band is completed, we're going to start out doing some of the clubs in Hollywood. And that will also be posted on my Facebook page.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Well, Carolyn, you know, you're definitely up to some great stuff. And, you know, I wish you all the best of luck and success in the future. I know that you're just going to blow up, definitely.
Oh, thank you. I hope so.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, it truly was a pleasure having you on the show today. So thank you so much for joining us, Carolyn.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course, you're welcome. Before I let you run, I do want to remind our listeners, guys, I'm speaking with the amazing, talented Miss Carolyn Cook. She is the CEO at 24C Records in Palmdale, California. She's a singer herself. She's starting her youth organization, so definitely check her out. Find out more information. Her youth program has an event coming up in October. It's a casino night in Hollywood, so check that out. Find out more information about that. And also, Carolyn has some events coming up for herself where you can hear her sing. So you can check out her Facebook. So just go to Facebook and look for Carolyn Cook. That's CarolynCook. Look for that on Facebook. You can also Google her. So look for Carolyn Cook. You can also email her. Her email address is 2.carolyn@aol.com. So that's TWO.CAROLYN@AOL.com. So check it out, guys. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back with our next guest. So keep it locked for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
This is DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW.
WRNW, you're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buchner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. You guys know I am your host, Bridget Grayson, and it is truly a pleasure to be here with you guys today and start off the work week. It's Monday afternoon, and I told you guys I would make it a little bit easier for you by having some amazing guests come on the show today. And, you know, so far we've delivered, and my next guest is amazing as well. She's a wonderful person. I'm happy to have her here with us today. You guys know that I love having my people that are involved in education on the show. That is something that is very important. And also those who are actively out there in the community doing things and helping others. It is always a great thing to see. So, guys, without any further ado, I want to welcome Ms. Sylvia Alvino to our show today. She is the chairman of the Phoenix Education Group in Evanston, Illinois, but she does some other great work as well. So we're definitely excited to hear all about her and what she has going on. Good afternoon, Sylvia. How are you today?
Oh, fine. Thank you, Bridget. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, of course. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It is our pleasure to have you on the show, Sylvia. So to start off, tell us a little bit about Phoenix Education Group. What are you guys all about there?
Phoenix Education Group is made up of some people who have worked together on alternative education projects for at-risk students, mostly in urban populations like Chicago, where we take a student-centered approach to meeting the needs of students who don't feel comfortable in traditional schools. And we were out in the community originally working at banks and airports and hospitals in a special project where we brought the students to those places so they could explore careers in those areas and also learn some academic information.
Oh, wow. That is a wonderful thing, Sylvia. So, yeah, these people, who do you work with? Is there any specific age ranges that you work with there at Phoenix Education?
Well, when we started that program originally, it was for high school students who would be mostly juniors. And it was sponsored by Chicago United, which was an active group at that time of business and religious people. And they offered their businesses, their corporations, as sites for us to take kids on site to learn about business and industry and gain a more serious approach to their education by meeting real people and seeing what you really need to do to be in a field, and also seeing if you wanted to be in the field. It's not a textbook-oriented process, and so I guess I would describe it as alternative education. When you get the kids out of the school, away from textbooks and into the real world, you still have structured education, but they come for a semester and they spend time in an agency that they think they might be interested in. That's what we did originally, and when that program stopped, some of us just said, you know, we feel like we've been walking on the moon, and now we're dragging our feet back in the mud doing traditional things. So we started a consulting group to help other people to do the kinds of alternative education that we were working in.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, I think that's definitely a great thing, because it's always one thing to, you know, hear something or learn about it in the traditional way, as you said, Sylvia, but then it's another thing to kind of see it firsthand. And I know for me, that was always how I learned the best, by actually visualizing, seeing, being out there and seeing exactly what's going on. And I think that is a great thing and a great experience that you were providing, and it's great that you're helping others do that now as well. And you are someone who is no stranger to education. You've been in education for a while, so tell us a little bit about how you got started in all of this. Was there something that sparked your interest to be an educator in the first place, Sylvia?
I got involved as a teacher at a time when school districts were desegregating the schools, and I knew that we were going to be able, what happened in Chicago, we were going to be able to try to desegregate schools, but it was easier to desegregate the faculty than it was to send the kids to different schools. So I knew that that was I anticipated that that was a great need, to have teachers who were willing to go into the inner city. And even though we were young and just out of college, we had faith in our ability to teach and in our students. And we went into what I would call non-traditional situations. And part of the approach originally would be, well, you know, how do we get these kids interested if they're not academically inclined. Now, some of the students were, and they responded very much to traditional things, and some of the students were not, and then we had to find all other ways of doing things. For instance, when I did that career education program, I worked in a hospital, and I took kids throughout the hospital. Now, I knew they needed traditional math and science if they were going to go into the medical industry, so they took those courses during the morning at their own home schools. And then when they came to the hospital to work with me for a semester, we worked through social studies and English as an approach. And that was more non-traditional. So it was a combination that they needed. I'm sorry, there's somebody beeping on my line. Can we just ignore that and keep going?
Definitely. So, you know what, Sylvia, that is great stuff, you know, the whole reason why you got involved in this. And as I said, you're definitely no stranger to education. But I also mentioned earlier in the beginning when I was introducing you that you have done some stuff to help others and give back to the community as well. And I know one thing that you've done, you ventured to Kenya for a little bit to do some work there. So tell our listeners a little bit about that and what you did there.
Yeah, I had some acquaintances who are working on AIDS and HIV prevention and education in Kenya, in the Western Province and the Central Province, because when they had done some volunteer work out there, the women who they met said, please bring us more information about AIDS and HIV. And over the years, that program had grown to the point where that was the main focus, and local community farmers who would be the ones who would talk to their neighbors had to be trained. So we got involved with sort of professional development of the local Kenyans. And in Kenya, a farmer, it's called the shamba. It's a small farm. They usually they're a few acres, and so they grow enough to sustain themselves and their families and maybe sell some of their crop off to commercial enterprises. But those women who run those farms are pretty much working almost out of their home, and they go to talk to their neighbors, and there's a great deal of fear of about AIDS, and some people think it's magic, and some people just think it's dangerous to be in the same room with a person who has AIDS.
Yeah, there's definitely a lack of education on it, definitely.
And, you know, I even had to think about that myself. Do I really want to go and go to Africa and sit in a room full of half of the people who have AIDS? But you can't get AIDS from being in a room with a person. It doesn't work that way. And so part of the thing was to educate people to share with their neighbors, and these are mostly women, to share with their female neighbors how to take care of their family in a way to protect them from getting AIDS, to help them if they have someone in the family with HIV to get tested and take the medicine, which we now know can keep people alive for dozens of years, and also to have people use condoms. And what happens is that there's an international protocol, which the World Health Organization uses, to generally talk about curriculum for AIDS, and it's ABC, abstain, be faithful, and use condoms. But most people never get past their education with abstain because the agencies are afraid to go to the use condoms, and they don't know what to do with the be faithful. I'm not sure. So what the local organization, which is now called the ABCs of Sex Education, is doing is it's training women in Kenya with a curriculum that was written in English based on some of the World Health Organization material and translated into Swahili because the people in Kenya speak those two languages, and a person who's educated will be working in English. But if she's working with a person who's not educated, you can assume that you can do it in Swahili. So the book has all the medical terms translated into Swahili so that the local community leader doesn't have to scratch his head and think, you know, how do I say vagina in Swahili or whatever it is they want to talk about, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you teach sex education, you're talking about behavior modification and knowledge of science. And it's very interesting to the people for whom it's part of their daily life, but it's also a new approach that most people haven't been exposed to. And they use a lot of role-playing and various sorts of brainstorming activities to get people to think through the information and their feelings about the information. I was just there as an advisor, and I was very impressed with what was going on. And I would encourage your readers, or your listeners, excuse me, if they have any interest in working in third world country or going to Kenya, I'd be glad to put them in touch with the people. Or they can go online and look at ABCs of Sex Education. I know that there's a group of people going to Kenya in a week or two for the next 2 months, and they're going to be working on training a lot of groups.
Oh, awesome, Sylvia.
The first time I went was about 4 years ago.
Wow, amazing. Well, you know, that is definitely a wonderful thing that you're even brave enough to do that. There are so many people who don't have the courage to do that. But I do know that there are a lot that would want to get involved. So, guys, if you're one of those people, I encourage you to reach out to Sylvia. So I want to remind you, I'm speaking with Miss Sylvia Alvino. She is the owner of Phoenix Education Group in Evanston. I'm sorry, not the owner, the chairman of Phoenix Education Group in Evanston, Illinois. That's a nonprofit, guys. So definitely check her out and find out more information. If you want to get involved, as she said, you can give her a call. The number is 847-328-7516 or email her at silalvino@yahoo.com. That's SYLALVINO@yahoo.com. So if you're interested in working in a third world country and going to Kenya, you can reach her that way, or if you want to find out more about Phoenix Education Group. So I encourage you guys all to do that. Sylvia, I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on the show with us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Bridget. I enjoy talking to you.
Oh, yes, I did too. You're welcome. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. Stick around for more Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network, WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live.
You're now listening live to WRNW.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock. Only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaJoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. Now, you guys know I am your host, Bridget Greason, and what we do here at Women's Radio Network is we bring you guys the best, most amazing people that are just doing some great things in their professional field all across the world, and they're inspiring and encouraging to you guys. So we love having our special guests here, and I have another one here with us today, and she is just a great person. So I want to welcome Ms. Cindy Parker to our show. She is a partner at Professional Title Agency, and that's in Daytona Beach, Florida, guys. And you know, a fun fact is they are also the oldest family-owned title agency in the Daytona Beach area, which is pretty cool. So without any further ado, guys, let's welcome her to our show today. Good afternoon, Cindy. How are you?
Well, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. And Cindy, thank you for joining us on the show. We're very happy to have you with us today.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. So, Cindy, as a partner over there, Professional Title Agency, tell us a little bit about that. What do you guys offer there, and what do you do?
Well, we do title research, escrow. We hold escrow. We hold the deposits. We handle the preparation of all the documents for closing, title research. We actually handle the physical closing, disperse all the funds. The most important thing we do is write the title insurance and ensure clear title to the new buyer and to the lender.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. So that's definitely very important work that you have going on there. So the clients that you work with, Cindy, who would you say are your main types of clientele? Are they just individual people that you work with? Is it a lot of commercial that you do?
We handle commercial closings, mainly referral-based are probably the bread and butter of our industry as far as bringing business in the door would be other real estate agents in mm-hmm. the area, lenders. We have investors that we close for, but we do have mm-hmm. a lot of individual people that bring their closings here.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Awesome. So I know that this is owned by you and your brother, so it's a family-owned business. So tell us a little bit about how it got started, Cindy. What actually made you want to get involved in this type of work?
Well, I went away for 1 year at Wesleyan College in Macon, Georgia, and came back and decided to start dating my husband that I married. So I didn't go back. And I went to work for an attorney and a builder. And because I had a few months under my belt there, a title agent hired me in 1971 in the title business, mm-hmm. saying that I was experienced in the legal field, which I knew nothing about title insurance or any of that. But I went in, got hired on as a clerk typist, and stayed with them. In 77, I opened the first Chicago title branch here in Volusia County, and had my child number 2 and 3 and 4 while I was at Chicago Title. After my fourth child, I just thought, you know what? I'm going to start my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did in 1983 with four kids. Started a title agency. Was partnered with an attorney at that time. And we started, dug right in, and then I had child number 5.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's tough. That's the toughest thing about being a mother, a mm-hmm. grandmother, a wife, and a business owner as a woman, is to keep your priorities in order and your family first. And it was tough. So my brother came back in 1990 from Houston and said, "Hey, sis, I want to invest in a business here in Florida. What's a guy?" I said, "Take us. Come with me." And so he did, and we've been partners ever since. So it's really been nice being in business with my brother.
Oh, that's awesome. That's wonderful to hear. And you know, just hearing your story and how you got started, I was just going to say, boy, you sound like Superwoman to be able to start your own business. And with five kids, that's amazing, Cindy. And I know that's something that a lot of our listeners do struggle with. They call in all the time and ask questions about that. Well, when we do have our longer programs, how people such as yourself are able to have a career and balance a family as well. So, Cindy, what would be some advice that you can offer to these people, especially these females out there that have, you know, sort of a hard time doing that?
Have a good boss who gets it. We've had employees here. We had an office at one time that we set up as a nursery. I even had a couch that they could pull out and nurse their babies.
Aww.
So have a flexible boss, if you could be so blessed as to have that. Having flexibility to be able to take off for a field trip and feel like you still are holding your family as a priority, not having to work 24/7. It's just the most important thing you can do. So if you don't have that kind of situation and you're torn and you feel like it's just not working, it probably isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough when you feel like you're doing half of a job at your work and half of a job being a parent, a wife. And it's a challenge, but you can make it work. You
mm-hmm.
can make it work.
Definitely.
With a lot of help from above and make the right situation for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very well said, Cindy. And, you know, that is something that is very important. You know, you can make it work, and getting that right situation for yourself can make a big difference as well. So, you know, great stuff. You were able to do it. So, you know, anyone out there can do it as well. You just have to have the will and determination to do it, such as yourself. So, Cindy, what do you see as maybe the next step for yourself in the near future?
Well, we made it through the Great Recession. We went
mm-hmm.
from 63 employees down to 9, my brother and myself being 2 of the 9. And we've slowly built back up. We've hired people back into the fold that we had to let go, and we're back up now to about 30. We just rehired someone that worked for us 23 years ago and came back.
Wow.
A lot of our people have been with us over 25 years. So we have a great team here. But we want to open 2 more offices, and that's what we're exploring right now. We have 6 offices right now.
Nice. Awesome. So, Cindy, do you guys only do work in the Daytona Beach area, or is it surrounding areas as well?
Entire state of Florida. We can insure in the state of Florida. We also partner with our underwriter to insure anywhere in the United States and nationwide. But we have office in Orlando, which is in Orange County, and we have an office in Palm Coast, which is Flagler County, and then we have 4 other offices here in Volusia County.
Nice. Awesome. Well, you know, definitely great stuff that you have going on there, Cindy. And, you know, I'm sure that you guys will be able to expand and just do so much more great work. And, you know, thank you so much for just being a part of our show today and sharing all that you have going on and that amazing advice with our listeners. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for asking me. I appreciate having the honor to speak to y'all.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. Cindy, before I let you go, I just want to remind our listeners, guys, I'm speaking with Miss Cindy Parker. She is a partner at Professional Title Agency in Daytona Beach, Florida. But as she said, they have other offices as well. So they have one in Orlando, Palm Coast. So if you want to find out more information about them, you can definitely check out their website. And as she said, they can insure the entire state of Florida. So wherever you're at down there, and we know that a lot of you guys tune in from Florida. So definitely check out the website, which is www.professionaltitle.com. That's professionaltitle.com. So definitely check it out, guys, all right? So unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's episode of Open Forum here on the Women's Radio Network. We will be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with another episode here on the Women's Radio Network. So make sure to join us then here at WRNW1.
You're listening live to the Women's Radio Network. Women's Radio Network is for empowering executive and professional women from all walks of life. On this platform, take the opportunity to speak about your careers, passions, goals, and business.
I am here today with the very talented and very interesting Robin LaHoya Charles, the spokeswoman of the
Women's Radio Network. Now, talk to me about that. What does it mean to be the spokeswoman of the Women's Radio Network, the one that we all work on here?
Honestly, it means that my first name, my middle name, my last name, my DNA, my social security number, my phone number, my email address, my home address, my car, my phone, and everything that I own is about the Women's Radio Network. That's generally how I pursue it. It's like everything I do is centered around promoting and speaking up on the Women's Radio Network. And the best part about it is the network itself is so empowering that it's so easy to do.
Visit WRNW1.com to sign up today.
Hi, this is DJ Blondrea. Don't miss the Women's Radio Network Party Mix every weekend on WRNW1.com.
DJ Blondrea on the ones and twos.
Women's Radio Network.
This is Lisa Singer, host of Open Forum on WRNW. And don't forget to listen to The Joyce Buckner Show with Dr. Joyce Buckner every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. on WRNW1.com.
Hi, this is Curtis Stone. Now, I've cooked a lot of food in my day. Steaks, salads, pasta, seafood, chicken, soup, sandwiches. I mean, you name it, and I've prepared it thousands of times. But even I can't cook enough to feed all of the 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger. That's one out of every five children. Now, luckily, there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last one of those hungry kids. The only problem is getting it to them. That's where the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks comes in. They gather up surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. We call them food angels, and you can be a food angel too. Come on, earn your wings by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRNW with Casey Armstrong, Women's Radio Network, empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.
You're listening live. You're now listening to WRNW. You're listening live to WRNW. You're listening live. You're now listening live to WRNW. Women's Radio Network.
This is Dr. Joyce Buckner reminding you to listen to Keeping It Real with Casey Armstrong weekdays at 1 o'clock. Only on WRNW1.com.
Women's Radio Network. Empowering women of today to become tomorrow's superstars.